All right, let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18, please. Proverbs chapter 18. We've been looking at different types of hearts that the Bible speaks of. We've looked at the troubled heart. We've looked at the divided heart. We've looked at the bitter heart with reference to selfish ambition and the desire to seek followers to cause division. We see that in our nation's capital, but we also see that, unfortunately, in many churches. James was dealing with that. James, the half-brother of Jesus, was dealing with that problem in his church. So we looked at that last week. So tonight I want us to look at a broken heart. Broken heart. Who would like to read verse 14 of Proverbs 18, please, loudly?
The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit?
Okay, who can bear a broken spirit? Does anybody else's translation read differently?
A crushed spirit.
A crushed spirit. Same as broken. Anybody else? Okay. Wounded. Very good. All those are the same. Okay. Who has ever had a broken heart in here? Who would agree with me that that's some of the most severe pain you'll ever feel in your life? A broken heart, you know, Cindy is going to heal from that break in her foot. That pain is only temporary. Sometimes internal pain lasts a lifetime if we don't manage that broken heart the right way. Okay? We're going to look at that, the broken heart, because the Bible does have a lot to say about having a broken heart. You know, what are some reasons that cause a broken heart? Maybe betrayal? Who's ever been betrayed here? Maybe rejected? Rejection? Who's ever been rejected? I've been rejected. Disappointment? Very good. Who's ever felt disappointment with God? You know, that's real for some people. You have, babe. You know, we feel that somehow God did not meet our expectations. And so we were disappointed with him. Or, listen carefully, unmet expectations from another person. Who's discovered that if we continually experience unmet expectations from another person, that that'll cause anger in our lives? That's one of the causes of anger in our lives, is that somebody continually does not meet up to our expectations, if in fact we are invested in that relationship, right? So anyway, one of my daughters once was acting out, and I remember telling her in front of her mom, this was several years ago, and I said, you know, so-and-so, I mentioned my daughter's name, and I said, you know, you break my heart. And that was because we raised her a certain way. And some of her behavior at that time was not the way we had raised her. And so we had a heart-to-heart with her, and I hope that she felt the sting of my words, because I was just being honest with her. What you're doing is breaking my heart. And thankfully, you know, she got out of that. But anyway, so disappointment can cause a broken heart. There are a lot of reasons. Now, what I don't want to focus on is the causes of a broken heart so much as to what to do when we have a broken heart and what not to do when we have a broken heart. Okay? Number one, let's talk about leaning into the pain. Once read a little book by Dr. Paul Brandt. He was a gentleman, the doctor that served in leper colonies. And he wrote a book entitled The Gift of Pain. Now, some people do not see, it's hard for all of us to think of pain as a gift. But in some ways, pain is a gift. Think of the lepers. You know, they have no sensation of pain. So if they cut their hand, let's say they cut it off, they won't feel the pain, the searing pain of that hand being cut off. But they'll bleed to death and not even know it. So pain does serve a purpose. And pain in our hearts, in our emotional makeup, serves a purpose. And the worst thing we can do is to stuff the pain. We don't allow ourselves to think about it. We don't allow ourselves to feel the pain. Therefore, unfelt pain is unprocessed pain. Unfelt pain is unprocessed pain. And so you have these, you know, sometimes Hollywood has given us these strong, unemotional types. John Wayne, the earlier movies of Clint Eastwood, they were just tough exterior. They felt no emotion. Now I like to see Clint Eastwood more in a human-like capacity in his older movies, later movies, because he seems more human, because he seems more real. Instead of this tough exterior, never let them see you sweat, keep a stiff upper lip. And so what happens to a lot of people, listen, when we have unfelt pain in our hearts and we stuff it, I've said this before many times, and I'm going to keep saying it. What we don't work out, we're going to what, church family? We're going to act out. What we don't work out in a healthy manner with regards to a broken heart is we're going to act out. I remember many years ago, one of the very, I've got to say that the most difficult place I've done ministry was in St. Francis, Kansas, in the northwest corner of the boring state of Kansas. If you've driven through there, it just seems like an eternity, you know, because you see nothing but wheat fields forever, for days. Anyway, there were a lot of deaths that involved vehicular accidents because of alcohol involvement. And a lot of these people were young people. And I remember being one of my friends, his brother's son was killed in a car accident. And so I was this guy's pastor. So I went to his brother's funeral and I sat with the guy that went to our church. And afterwards, he was telling me, you know, he said in a nonchalant manner, he said, I know what they're going to be doing tonight. He says they're going to be getting a lot of beer and getting drunk. Well, in my young 20-something mind at the time, I couldn't figure out. I said, isn't that wrong? Aren't they grieving? Shouldn't they grieve properly? And he's like, Joe, that's the only way they know how to grieve, is to deaden the pain with alcohol. Yoo-hoo. Right? Or some people, you know, I once had a gal tell me that her problem, the way she dealt with pain, was sex and alcohol. At that point, I didn't want to hear any more about her weaknesses. But anyway, how many of us know that we find ways to medicate even when we're not conscious of the fact that we're medicating? So what we don't work out, we're going to act out. All right? Okay, and so we have to lean into the pain. We have to allow ourselves to feel the pain. You know, I've got to be honest. Sometimes I mention my dad too much, but you know what that stems to is that all my life as an adult, I was living under the assumption that because I had forgiven him, that I could not allow myself to feel the pain that he dealt me for decades. Even after I was grown up and after I had graduated from college and after I had a family, he was still dealing me pain to the point that it got to where when he passed, one decade after he's passed, I'm now allowing myself to feel the pain, and it is rough. It is rough. But I've got to believe that that's the healthiest thing for me to do. Because who would agree with me tonight that in order to truly forgive someone, You have to allow yourself to feel the pain of the wrong that they dealt you, especially if it was conscious and especially if it was repeated. Right? Some of you are not, thank you for your nod. Some people are not convinced. We have to lean in to the pain. We have to allow ourselves to hurt. Because again, what we don't work out, what's going to happen, church family? We're going to act out. Thank you. We're going to act out. We don't want to act out. Number two, we have to talk about it with a trusted friend or therapist or pastor. Okay? If we have a wound, doesn't it come to a point when you have a wound that you have to take the bandage off and let it breathe and let air get in there to affect the healing process? You just can't keep that thing under the bandage all the time. Okay? So what we have to do is find someone that we trust and can confide some of our hurt with them and have them become our prayer partners in this endeavor of, I'm going to say it this way, church family, healing our hearts has got to become a primary project in our lives. We can't leave it to chance. You can't say, I'm too busy for it. That's another way we medicate. Work. Workaholics are terrible about their way to medicate is just not to feel by keeping yourselves busy, 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 busy. Right? And I think, I've got to believe that in America, the workaholic is a patron saint of our country. So we'll medicate that way. But we have to talk. We have to talk in an atmosphere of grace and not judgment. We have to allow ourselves to say things that we would have said to them that we didn't say to them, but maybe say them to our friends. You know, I've gotten in the habit of just talking to Jesus and telling Jesus exactly some of the things that I wanted to tell some people that really, really hurt me in my life. And I'm telling you, this Jesus won't judge me. This Jesus is after my healing. Can I get a witness, please? Right? Who would like to read Psalm 147, verse 3, please? Psalm 147, verse 3. Okay.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
Very good. He heals what? The brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Who would like to read Isaiah? I want to say it's 57:15. Isaiah 57:15. It says, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Notice carefully, he dwells with someone with a contrite and humble spirit. For what purpose? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Okay, can we talk about resentment? You know what resentment really means in the Latin language? Simply means to feel again. The way that hurt made you feel the first time, you continually feel it over and over and over. Who's heard of triggers? What are triggers? Memories? Events? People? Maybe someone looks like you're like the person who hurt you, and so somehow you transfer all this negative emotion that you had toward him, that you transfer it toward somebody else. You know, that happened to one of my secretaries. She was a great gal, very, very gifted, incredibly intelligent, one of the best that I've had in ministry. And she had moved from San Diego to Kansas because her dad was the predecessor of the church that I was pastor. And so I hired her as a secretary. I'm glad I did. But somebody had encouraged me to, so I said, yeah, let's do it. And initially, she would be very biting and short, and her comments were very, if I use the word incisive, well, you know what I'm meaning, cutting. She was, and I finally sat down with her, and I said, Rebecca, what's going on? You know, it feels like you have this disassociated anger, and you've got misguided anger toward me. And she finally broke down in tears when I said that. And she said, I'm sorry. She said, I was married to a guy with a dark complexion, and he was an abusive husband. I finally had to get a divorce, and that's why we moved up here to Kansas to be away from him. You know, interestingly enough, that guy got saved. He was a businessman, a money-making machine, a businessman, and he would contribute $20,000 a pop on occasion to the church. Who's thankful for God's grace? Never write anybody off. But anyway, and so he started attending the church up in Kansas so he could be with his kids more often, you know, and they had an amicable relationship. But anyway, the point is that she, when she saw me, I reminded her of him. That is a trigger. Or memories trigger. Or something happens that causes your mind to jog down a certain event that it causes all this emotion to well up. Can I get a witness? This is one of the reasons why we want to be healed of a broken heart, is so that when we have those triggers, they don't have the impact on our heart, and we don't have the resentment. We don't feel that negative emotion again. Right? All right. So we have to be careful with that. If number three, watch out for bitterness. Who agrees with me that wounds can fester in our hearts? You know that little saying that time heals all wounds? That is hogwash. God's grace plus time heals, bless you, all wounds. Right? God's grace plus time, not time alone, is not a healer. Time is not a healer. If it was, there wouldn't be any bitterness on planet Earth. There wouldn't be any ill will. There wouldn't be any hatred. But people have allowed themselves through time to get worse instead of better. So we have to watch out for bitterness, to where when we see our offender, then it gets worse. Our initial reaction was mild compared to what it is now. Right? Broken heart. All right? Who would like to read, let me see, Psalm 51, verse 17, I want to say. Very good. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Who's thankful that the Lord loves a broken heart? Because he can heal it. Now, notice this. In this context, it's broken over our own sinfulness. It is remorse and repentance over our own wrongdoing. That is moral brokenness. That is voluntary brokenness. And I think that in the body of Christ, we need to see a revival of this. Who agrees with me that we need to see a baptism of repentance? You know, we deeply feel the pain of our wrongdoing, and we realize that we offend at the heart of our Father, and we will repent of that and not chuck and jive and not... Cindy and I are watching this amazing series on FX. I would commend it to you. It's called... Impeachment, an American crime story. Is that right? And they're going through the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, Linda Tripp debacle back in the mid-90s. And in fact, they're going to show all first five episodes. They're on their fifth. They showed the fifth episode last night. We were up late watching it. But and they said that on Saturday they're going to show it. But there's a scene where they said that Bill Clinton lied on oath when he was governor of Arkansas, and that this cat would do things without any sense of remorse. I would commend that series if you can access that channel, FX. We've got Dish Network, so we can access it. But now, I'm going to take a little deviation and do like a mini teaching within the teaching. Is that okay? It seems like I'm going to chase a rabbit. I'm really not, because I was doing some studying here recently, and Cindy and I were both listening to this. I follow these professional counselors on YouTube, and on one of their sessions, they were talking about the difference between a narcissist, a sociopath, and a psychopath. Can somebody tell me the difference? Normally, we have taken all those three and used those interchangeably, but they're not all the same. A sociopath is not a psychopath, not all narcissists are psychopaths, but all psychopaths are narcissists. A narcissist is someone that they're all about whom? Themselves. And they'll manipulate and they'll use all these clever things to try to get their way all the time. They can dispose of people and whatever the case. Listen carefully, church family, but they still feel remorse and shame. Narcissists do have the ability to feel remorse and shame. A psychopath, listen carefully, has no ability physiologically or psychologically to feel remorse, regret, guilt, or shame. They have never felt that in their bodies, in their brain makeup, and they have no ability to feel that. Okay? What's that? They were born that way. That's what the secular culture says. A sociopath is made if he is not or she is not born. Who's ever heard of war stories where someone goes to war and they kill a lot of people and it messes them up psychologically, and they come back to the States and they start opening fire on all these innocent people? That's a sociopath. That's not a psychopath. That dude was made. He was not, quote unquote, born with that. Do I believe that some people are born with the inability of guilt? I do. I do believe that. If you don't believe that, that's fine. It's not going to change anything about anything. But also, I do believe that many are made. What about an innocent kid who doesn't have a dad at home, and the mom's working three jobs to try to make ends meet, and he hangs out with his neighborhood friends, and then they get involved in a gang, and then all of a sudden they're lured into this gang and they have to do all kinds of things, and then it comes to the initiation where they must kill somebody to be initiated into their gang, because that's the only sense of belonging that they have in their lives. Well, that's a sociopath. They were made a killer. They were not, quote unquote, born a killer. Does that clarify anything? It's good trivia anyway, when you're watching Jeopardy next time. What's the difference between a narcissist and a sociopath? I know. All right. Impress your friends. Okay, back to the broken heart. Okay, go with me to Psalm 34, please. So far, so good, everybody. Psalm 34. Who would like to read verse 18 of Psalm 34?
Close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Very good. The Lord is close to whom? The brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So what that says to me, listen, no matter what happened to you, the depth of your woundedness, the depth of your broken heart, the Lord is always present there, isn't he? He is close by. And all we need to do is turn toward him instead of reach for hatred and reach for vengeance. Yoo-hoo. I remember one time, do you like that I give these life-related stories or true examples? Oh, Miss, you can hardly wait, right, Miss Karen?
Come on.
You know what I found, church family? That one of the things that I despise, absolutely despise about human nature is this mob mentality where they, like one-on-one, they wouldn't have the courage to tell you something to your face, but you get them around other guys that are on your side against you, and they'll tell you anything. I despise that. I remember one time there was a school assistant superintendent in Effingham, great guy, very wise, and there was a, I'll get back to my original story, but there was a strike from the teachers because as the assistant superintendent of the school systems in Effingham, he was very frugal with his money. Some people said that he squeaked when he walked, but that's beside the point. So the teachers were striking because they wanted more money, and they thought this guy was cheap. And so they all gathered around at his house. Well, they all, you know, when it's a mob, well, you can say all kinds of things to a man, right? Because he's outnumbered. But he went out, you know, his wife discouraged him from going out. He went out and he said, listen, I'll be happy to meet with all of you one on one. Guess how many takers he had? Cowards. I mentioned that to say that, you know, I have to not give in to these impulses that, to be truthful, to me, they seem like candy, like something you want to taste, right? Do you guys have a weakness in food? Do you have like a, is it pizza? Is it a cheeseburger? Is it a Snickers bar? Did you say chocolate? That's hers too. Candy corn?
Right now.
Oh.
Chocolate at Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That's your go-to?
I'm not going to go there, but yes.
Cynthia just absolutely loves that candy corn, right, baby? Look at her face. No, she's about to hurl back there. All right. So let's look at one last verse. Luke 4, 18, please.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind.
Those of you reading the King James or the New King James Version, was there a line skipped?
I didn't hear what verse you said.
18. Yes.
Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. Do you have the NIV, Mama Jan?
King James.
King James. Would you mind reading the King James, please?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
Yes.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable.
That's
19 years.
No, you're fine. What line was missing in the New International Version?
He has sent me to heal.
Is that, does yours read that, Miss Nola? Love the NIV simply because its readability is far better than even the New King James Version, but the New International Version was not translated word for word. It was translated thought for thought. Thought for thought is called dynamic equivalence. Word for word translation of a Bible is called formal equivalence. I would much rather have the word for word than the thought for thought, especially if you are a more serious student of the word. You'll find a lot of things that are missing out of the NIV that are found in the King James Version or the New King James Version. Like the second half of Mark 16, there will be a notation not found in earlier manuscripts. Whatever. Okay, so final note, when we are nursing wounds, we are at a very vulnerable place spiritually. Who believes with me that Satan has the power of suggestion and he can whisper all kinds of thoughts in our mind and feelings? He can initiate or try to incite feelings within us, feelings of revenge, feelings of anger. He wants us to lose our sweetness of spirit. He wants us to grow sour. He wants us to have a bitter disposition. You know, I believe that I once did a message here that I entitled HALT, H-A-L-T, and those four, listen carefully, those four are prime opportunities for the enemy when he comes to seek to do his work in our lives. Number one, when we are hurting, H. When we are angry, A. When we are lonely, Okay, L, when we are tired. T, hurting is huge. Our defenses are down. We're emotionally wounded. And he'll try to lie to us. You know, I was hearing Jimmy Evans. We listened to this marriage couple. They're amazing. Jimmy Evans. And what's her name, babe? Karen. Yeah, Karen Evans. Anyway, but they talk about marriage. And he was saying that the enemy was whispering these thoughts in his mind early on in their marriage, that when they were not getting along and he was very toxic, he thought she was the problem. She thought he was the problem. Yoo-hoo. And he said he entertained thoughts of, you know, the enemy was lying to him, telling him, oh, Jimmy, you should have married this other girl that you dated in high school. This one, the one you have now, is the wrong one. Well, how many of y'all know that is not the Lord? That is Satan. The Lord's saying, you're married, stay in there and fight. And learn to die to yourself. Who agrees with me that marriage is a fast track to Christ-likeness? Kiki, don't get married too soon. But I want to officiate. Who agrees with me that a good marriage is a result of hard work? Biting your tongue, being Christ-like, thinking several steps ahead.
Compromise.
Not always demanding my way, but communicating and saying, listen, this is something that I don't get all my way all the time. You don't get your way all the time. Anyway, all right. Was this a good lesson, guys? Let's close and pray. Father, we thank you for this time together in your word. Lord, we pray for your healing upon broken hearts. Father, this is a season of great vulnerability in your people's lives. When people are lonely and they're hurt, they're wounded, they're misunderstood, they've been betrayed, they've been rejected, they've been spoken horrible things, horrible words over their lives, Lord. So we just pray, Jesus, for your healing. Thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted. You are near to those who are crushed in spirit. Lord God, we submit our hearts to you, and we pray for your healing process in Jesus' name. Help us not to stuff the pain. Help us to lean into it in Jesus' name. Amen.